Great, thank you very much. Our next presenter is Mike Stewart, Chief Information Officer for the Office of the Secretary of State in Kansas. And we're going to hear about their approach to building the system and how it functions. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, in Kansas, let me get to the next slide here. You may be wondering what ELVIS stands for. We like to choose acronyms for our projects, and Secretary Thornburg was an ELVIS fan, or is an ELVIS fan, I should say. And so he'd always wanted to use ELVIS in some project, and this one worked out very well for his need and ours. I'm sure you all know the law, but I wanted to put that up there. We give lots of presentations in Kansas on this, and a lot of people aren't familiar with that. But and the reason that and how we came about choosing our approach, and it's those 7 or 8 adjectives that are up there that we all know so well: single, uniform, official, centralized, interactive, computerized. And in Kansas, we took that to mean top down. So in this presentation, I will talk a little bit about the background, which I just did a little bit, the approach we took, some of the challenges that we faced, talk a little bit about the application itself, what was built, some of the interfaces to the different agencies that were required as a result of HAVA, some of the security aspects that we believe are maybe unique to some voter registration system implementations that we took, and then a little bit about what's next. I already explained what does HAVA mean for Kansas. We are a top-down approach. That is to say, it's a centralized system that is hosted at the state, but the counties are responsible for data, any changes to the data. The state does not change their data, so the counties have ownership of that. There are 105 counties in Kansas, and there were 14 different voter registration election management systems in use prior to this. And 13 of them, I believe, were distinct systems. The other one of the 14 was many different basic in-house type systems, spreadsheets, access databases, whatever they use for their county. We have, out of those 105 counties, we have, as all states do, I'm sure, small, medium, and large, very rural counties out west in Kansas. And so not a lot of them had real sophisticated election management systems at that point. Some of the challenges that we faced, which I'll get into later, but when we saw the law and what it meant for Kansas, we're a pretty small agency, very limited resources. There was some money that came along with this, so that did help. CIA's on there, that's not the agency, and that wasn't a concern, but confidentiality, integrity, and availability. When you do a statewide system like this, those are obviously some of the things that we had to take into account as far as technology, having that system available. All the records are in one place, keeping them confidential and maintaining the integrity of that data. The requirements for this system were set by a county work group, we call it. There were 7 counties making up the small, medium, and large representatives from each of those. And then there was our state ELM, Elections Legislative Matters, folks were in the work group, as well as IT, myself, and some others. Our legal counsel was on this work group, as well as a consultant that we hired to help. The system is, as Utah system is, a voter registration and election management system. As we got to looking at the requirements for this system, it became clear that you cannot, or at least we could not, see separating these out easily. So that was one of the reasons. And actually, Ray gave a very good description of those activities. I've listed a few of them here and did not put as many as Ray did there, but you get the idea. That there's a lot going on there. And we do include imaging system in ours and basically most of the things that Ray mentioned. To get to this point, after requirements were set, we did go through an RFP process, and we selected election systems and software. ESNS, their product is called PPEE, Power Profile Enterprise Edition. There's also a piece to that. Earlier this morning, it was mentioned about voters being able to look up information. We have a website, public website, called VoterView, where you can do that as part of this project. And also, satellite advanced voting was mentioned, and two of our largest counties in Kansas can do that right now through law. And we have a product called iPower Profile that they use in those locations as well. The ES&S system is used in several other states, Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Nebraska, and New Mexico. In Kansas, we built it for 600 total users. Right now, there are 510 county users using the system, as well as some state and vendor management users as well. And we did go for a five-year with 5 one-year renewables in our contract for maintenance and help desk from ES&S. We did implement the HAVA requirements by 12 of 2005. There were still some requirements left to do after that, but on the time frame we were on, the ES&S product was able to get us to that compliance with some of our requirements having to be implemented by 12/25/2005 as well. And as you all know as well, there are interfaces with other agencies, and I'll get into that as well in the presentation. Some of the challenges, these aren't all of them, but thinking through this and what the request was for the presentation, these are the ones that that I came up with to talk a little bit about. Time and resources I mentioned earlier, and the way we mitigated that was through that county work group, county involvement. Not only that, but with the state agencies as well, with the other interfaces, we had to involve them, communicate with them, keep them abreast of what we were doing. We also had a steering committee within the agency that we set up. We hired a new on-staff person to manage the project and manage a lot of the vendor management issues and contract. And the contract we made was a deliverables-based fixed price contract. And on the time, Kansas actually went through this process 1.5 times, or maybe 2 times, I guess you could say. We went through one vendor and then actually had another vendor come on. So we have even tighter time frame. ES&S started March of 2005, and we were able to get that done by December of 2005. Another challenge, I should say, on a statewide system like this was connectivity. Not that you don't have internet access in different county offices, but that you want that to be available. There are, you know, intermittent issues a lot of times. So, and the maintenance of that, you need that to be resolved very quickly. So in Kansas, we do have a statewide network called CanWin, and it did require a lot of router and circuit upgrades, which the state was going to do at one point, but this accelerated that process for them. I like to think it gave them an excuse to get it done a little earlier, but we did have to work with them hand in hand along with this project, so that was another aspect that we had to manage was the connectivity. And we do have 24/7 support through the Division of Information Systems and Communication in Kansas to maintain those circuits. Conversion was a huge issue with 105 counties. You can imagine the just all kinds of different things with the data, with getting people to agree upon standards and what you're going to put in, you know, statuses and drop-down boxes and so forth. So in Kansas, that was a big deal. And the county work group basically became a champion to all the other counties of the different sizes, and were able to help facilitate those discussions in the requirement sessions. So we were able to mitigate that way. Security, as far as being a challenge, I'll talk about some of the things we've done in a minute. Availability. Being that we did host this at the state now instead of the county being responsible and being able to, you know, manage their own system and have it available, we did have to build a fully redundant primary site and a disaster recovery site if the primary site became unavailable. And training, another issue is when replacing all of these systems, getting people up to speed and use this system in such a short time, training was a huge issue in getting that rolled out. In that March to December time frame, but we did a lot of regional classroom training and did that basically the way we did the project and rolled it out was we had 10 rollout groups of about 10 counties each, and a couple of them had a few more. But regional classroom and some WebEx is now for additional refresher training. And just reiterate that partnerships and communication were the key in Kansas to getting this done. We have a newsletter that Our communications department named the Blue Suede News that goes out to all counties and still does. Many issues that come up and still, you know, still come up, and this system is now a statewide system, so we still need to communicate about that. I don't want to stay on this slide too long, but just to give you an idea of what we did. Up in the upper right-hand corner, you can see a county election workstation through their network that goes through the CanWin system, and we do have a primary data center, fully redundant, and the secondary data center. And down near the bottom, there's what's called some job processors, and that will handle some of these agency interfaces that I'll talk about in a few minutes. And again, representing the CanWin network. This is the actual Elvis registrant search and entry screen. Basically, what happens, and this is on the county side, the state does not see these. You'll notice up at the top, that's one of the counties, and it is in our test environment. So if there's some anomalies there, I apologize, but this did come out of a test system. Basically, the county will log in. They'll get this as their main menu. They've already presented their security to this point. So this, when they're logged in, they see this and different menu choices for the different election and voter registration activities. I just wanted to point out on this screen, maybe it's a different one. Yeah, it's probably a little later, but this is the main screen they come to. They can search, and down near the bottom, they select whichever registrant they were looking for and open that up into a new screen where they can work it. External interfaces, all of those are handled through a system application called Agency Central that was built as part of this by ESNS. And in Kansas, we connect up to the Kansas Department of Health and Environment for death records. And then right now, and maybe as one of the challenges also, was working with the different agencies and their levels of involvement. Everyone was very good about that and working with us, but their ability to maybe do things via web service or do it, you know, in different manners, or you'll see different levels throughout that. So with the Department of Health and Environment, what they were able to offer at the time through an existing website they had, a secure website, was a manual download of the data. So right now, we actually go in and manually download that, and I believe the policy that we came up with is once a week. That's loaded into the Agency Central database, and then as new registrants are entered or changed, that checks against that data. And then there's a batch run against that voter registration and the death records as well, and it will alert the counties as to potential matches. The KDOC is the Department of Corrections, and that's where we get the felon records. And that is an automated download of an XML file that goes into the Agency Central database. And there is an instant check, again, much like the KDHE interface, of new and changed registrant records in a batch run against the database. The Department of Revenue is where the Department of Motor Vehicles in Kansas for the driver's license SSN match. There is a real-time web service call on new and changed registrant records. As a county changes or enters one, it goes out to that web service call. And as well, DMV performs that SSA check. If the driver's license was not provided in the last four, the DMV takes care of that process after first checking the DMV database. The Secretary of State's office is responsible for setting up and monitoring those jobs to make sure they run. And the frequency of them that's configurable is how often this would run. The counties are notified via email that this batch jobs were done, and they get reports of that. And they're presented in their application that you saw with potential matches from these interfaces, and they're responsible for further investigating that and determining if that was a match or not. The state does not change their data or mark them as verified in that case. This is just a high-level Agency Central diagram. Basically wanted to show the three agencies in the upper left and just the different connection methods that we have in security. Won't spend any more time on that. This is the interface that the state uses to set the jobs up. And again, won't go into too much detail there, but wanted to give you an idea that there's a batch update, and we do have some monitoring capability of that and can actually view the results and make sure these interfaces are working properly. This is the Agency Central real-time interface that the county sees. In this case, it's a felon match or a potential match. They haven't matched it at this point, or maybe they have. It says cancel at the top. So The county supplied this screen. She went in there to show us one that had already been done, and what happens when they go in there to change or look at a record, it would bring up that match that they got from the Department of Corrections as a potential match. And on the screen, you can only see a few fields, but if you scroll to the right there, you'll see some of the fields disappear. There's the last four of the SSN, there's address, and if the person had any known aliases, those would appear on the list as well. And the county at this point can choose to match that, cancel out, and you know, have it come up again later, or just determine that that is not a match. And there are different defaults to the statuses down in the lower left. In this case, felony conviction, and send out a felon notice that they have been matched. This is the batch interface, and again, this was out of the test system, so it's a little, it does not have the KDHE ones in there, whether they've been worked or not. But this is what the county would see. They opened this up. They had, on the right-hand side, total of 5 potential matches. They've worked 2 of them because there's 3 still pending that they need to go in and work. And they see this each time they log into that that section of the interface. And they would also see the KDHE death notices in here, as well as, I believe, some duplicate matching potentials come up in here as well. A little bit about an approach that Kansas took to securing the statewide application. In our county work groups and through some different security JAD sessions that we held with the state of Kansas and other security folks, we wanted to make sure that authentication into the application was done properly, and we came up with a requirement of doing a 2-factor authentication and also of vetting the identity of each user very carefully, and I'll explain that in a moment. So a couple of the requirements that we set out with ESNS on this was to leverage an existing state PKI infrastructure that we had in place in Kansas, and to require that certificate, and then portability. There are different ways to handle public key infrastructure certificates, and the way that we needed to handle it must have portability for these users for front counter access and so forth. So in Kansas, to vet the identity of the users, there are actual, and these are hand-signed at the moment, contracts between SOS and the counties that they will check the ID and so forth of every user that they want to add to this system. Those come back to our office. At that point, we will issue them a USB token device that is a smart card token that can hold a public key infrastructure digital certificate. They're issued that certificate. It has a PIN number on it as well. Those are sent out to those users. The token sent out to the user, they actually have to enroll and download that certificate onto the token. So they're the only ones that have access to what they call the private key on that token. And the PKI certificate, if a digital certificate, if people aren't familiar, it's basically a mathematical formula, and it's your digital identity. You're the only person that has that. And on that token, that is the only person that can have that particular digital signature or digital ID. Some lessons learned in this process. It's a pretty technical process. Users don't always follow instructions, as we know, and I certainly don't, but you've got to follow those exactly or there will be issues, because to get that digital ID information that we've entered up in a system and that they enter has to match perfectly. And you'd be amazed at how people don't spell their name. Oh, I guess you know that. We talked about that this morning, spelling names correctly and so forth. So that was a lesson learned. And then the token lifecycle for getting their PIN, the distribution of that, resetting those. And I just mentioned that these are some of the challenges we face on that particular implementation and have to deal with in our help desk. Just real quick, Elva Security. This is left over from a previous presentation, but real quickly, you have to be on CANWIN. You have to have that token, valid PIN, certificate, and be an Active Directory, which is what we use for our user management. And on that digital certificate, there's actually a field where we require to have the Active Directory name on that digital certificate. So there's another security level. Then you have a workstation configuration, application login, password to even get to Elvis. And then there's database, you know, different. It's an Oracle solution, so there's label security and so forth, so counties can't see each other's data. Application has user roles and so forth, and audit logs. What's next in Kansas for this system? Through ESNS and our maintenance agreement, we do get quarterly enhancements and bug fixes. We do have that what we call the EEC, the EEC Committee, which is the Elvis Enhancement Committee, consists of those seven counties and others, and some of our folks and ESNS folks that have a list of enhancements, and quarterly they prioritize those and so forth, so we do get quarterly releases. It includes bug fixes. We're working on a candidate management module right now. To put this in for HAVA, it did not have that, so that was one of our requirements, and we're finishing that up. Election night and official results reporting is part of this as well. In our voting equipment contracts, we required, actually in the voter registration and voting equipment contracts, we required XML imports and exports of ballot information, election results, to go the full circle between the two. And so we're working on finishing that up for the 08 elections. Accepting DMV e-registrations, right now I believe we get about 25% or possibly more of our registrations through the DMV offices, so we're working with them right now to accept those electronically. And Kansas has done, in December of 2005, at a Midwest election officials conference, Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri signed an MOU to do a data cross-check. So that did occur for the 2006 election cycle, and it was pretty basic. We all know there's challenges to this data and getting those matches, so it, I won't say it's not a perfect solution, but we did match on data that was acceptable to pass between each state, such as name and date of birth. And what that did was that resulted in some potential matches that we'd make some reports on and give out to counties. And so the four states did that. We felt it was very successful. It did, I don't have the exact number of potential matches we got back, but being a border state with Missouri and Kansas City area, that was our greatest list for potential matches that the county had to go then and investigate. That MOU, Iowa was the state that performed that cross-check. And as I said, it's a pretty manual process right now, where the data was actually sent there, either on CD and potentially some different avenues in the future, but Iowa performed those. Kansas is getting ready to do that for a group of states, Arkansas, Arizona, ourselves, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, and I believe Colorado, after they get their implementation completed. And again, that will be a basic match that, you know, there's issues with, but we're making some progress with that and wanting to learn some things off of that. And we'll get that done hopefully in the springtime before the 08 election. And just a quick map of the upper half is, has actually been expanded upon and called the North Central States, and then Kansas would be included in that lighter color group. And there's my contact information. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.